It is estimated that 80 to 160 million adults take antioxidants in the form of vitamins A, E, and beta carotene. The premise is that antioxidants will prevent cellular damage from environmental sources and maintain their health, and thus lead to a longer life. A new study published in the February 28th issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, conducted by the Cochrane Hepatobiliary Group at Copenhagen University Hospital in Denmark, concluded that not only were there no health benefits from taking beta-carotene and vitamins A and E supplements, but these antioxidants increased the risk of all-cause death. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Christian Glund, head of the Department of the Copenhagen Trial Unit at Copenhagen University Hospital and the study's senior author. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
What prompted your group to look into this particular issue?
Well, a couple of years ago, we got at the Cochrane Hepatobiliary Group a request to look at antioxidant supplements for preventing cancer in the GI tract, the liver and biliary tract. And that was from our co-author, the lead author on the study, Goran Bjelakovic, who comes from Serbia. And we had discussions with him for some time, and we had him to come to Copenhagen, and he worked with us for quite a while. And in the first study, which was published back in 2004, October 2004, I was actually in Ottawa at that time, we only looked on the preventive effect on cancer. And what we could find was 14 randomized trials. And what we saw was there was no preventive effect, really, on any of the cancers that we studied. However, we noticed that there was a tendency towards increased mortality. Mm-hmm. In a lot of comments we received at that time, plus in an editorial in The Lancet, we were told that this finding couldn't really be taken serious because we didn't study all randomized trials that examined the preventive effect of antioxidant supplements. So we decided back in 2004 that we had to go through all the trials that we were able to identify.
When looking at the science behind this, what are some of the hypotheses that have been proposed with respect to the effect antioxidants are supposed to have on either health maintenance or longevity or cancer prevention? What is the mechanism that has been proposed as their primary function?
The hypothesis is that it can antioxidants can scavenge reactive oxygen radicals, and in that way prevent cellular damage. Whether this is taking care in the body, whether this action is operative in the body, we haven't examined, of course, because that we can't examine in this way.
Right.
What we have examined is what is the outcome of taking the supplements.
Now, can you describe the methodology you use to collect the data for your study?
Yeah. This methodology has been described in a published protocol for our search of the data and for how we would proceed with our analysis. First, we search the different databases that you have, the American PubMed, of course, the European Embase, and we looked at the Cochrane Library, where you see the largest collections of trials, clinical trials done in the world. And we went through different other databases as well. And in this way, we were able to go through thousands and thousands of articles and sieve out all those that were randomized. Then we looked upon the way the authors described how they conducted the studies. Then we wrote to the authors that had been unclear about how they conducted the studies and asked them, how did you generate the allocation sequence? Did you use adequate methods there? How did you conceal the allocation at randomization? Did you use adequate methods there? How did you do blinding during the conduct of the trial? And did you include all patients in the final analysis, in so-called intention-to-treat analysis? And based on that, we were able to find some astonishing high proportion of trials with adequate methodology conducted in this very area. You probably know very well that if you look on an intervention, you normally find, say, 6, 8, or 10 trials.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe only one of those 6, 8, or 10 trials has been properly conducted. Very often, there's sloppy randomization, lack of blinding, or a lot of dropouts during the conduct of the trial. And all these mechanisms tend to bias the results of trials. But we were able to identify 47 trials, which is a pressing high proportion of trials being conducted at the very top level of conducting randomized clinical trials. And it is in these trials, these very trials, that we find the disturbing increased mortality caused by beta-carotene, vitamin A, and vitamin E.
What were the results themselves? You mentioned in general that there was increased mortality. What were the percentages for each, and how would that relate to the general public?
The percentages for the increase of mortality, the relative risk was for vitamin E a significant increase of 4%. The relative increase risk for beta-carotene was 7%. And the relative risk for increase for vitamin A was 16%.
Mm-hmm. Was there a way to translate that into absolute risk changes? Is that too difficult to do with this particular set of data?
Well, if you look upon the control data, roughly 10% of the people died in the control group getting placebo.
Right.
So if you multiply 10% with 107, for example, for beta-carotene,
mm-hmm.
then you get the percentages dying in the people randomized to the beta-carotene arm.
Okay. There was a criticism. This was mentioned in the reports. There's a criticism from Meyer Stamfer, who's a professor of nutrition and epidemiology at the Harvard School of Public Health, who said that the studies that were used were too diverse to pool together because they looked at various doses of antioxidants tested in a diverse group of people. Is this a valid criticism?
I don't really think so, because if it was correct that we were looking at a diverse group of people, you would have expected us to find some heterogeneity in our analysis. The analysis I mentioned to you before were all exemplary by having a lot of homogeneity. Mm-hmm. They were actually looking as if they really came from the same population. There has also been raised critics towards against our study based on the fact that we both analyzed people that were fully healthy when they entered the trials,
mm-hmm.
and people having had a diagnosis, either cardiovascular disease or gastrointestinal disease or whatever. But if you look at the data, we find exactly the same relative risks of increased mortality in those being healthy and those being with a previous diagnosis.
So, in other words, this is more of an apples-to-apples comparison. It's they're not disparate groups.
They are not disparate groups. And also another factor which actually make us believe that we are comparing apples to apples is the very fact of the adequate randomization.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your view, what should be the central message regarding antioxidant supplements, and what further investigations, if any, should be considered to sway these critics, or at least to confirm or continue to confirm that the results of this study were indeed valid?
We can say that we have gone at length trying to identify all the trials that has been published in the world. And we actually think we have a very fair amount of those data included in our analysis. We cannot, of course, take care of the possibility in such an analysis that there might be some trials that hasn't been published yet or has been staying in the files of companies or researchers. We see that quite often, and our experience is, in fact, that if they have trials not published, the likelihood that these trials will have a nil effect or a negative effect of the intervention is much larger than there should be any trials out there having a positive effect. Nobody would sit on a positive story very long. So we actually think that our estimates, at the very best, are conservative.
Is there a specific dosage that this represents as well? Are these just the dosages that the people in these studies took? And again, it's pooled data, but nevertheless, for someone listening to this conversation and they're taking a supplement, would that represent the dose that could cause harm in the long term, just taking what would be normally found in a general supplement?
I think that if you take a simple vitamin pill, the dosages that has been addressed here are usually a little bit or somewhat larger than you find in a single vitamin pill. But on the other hand, we have no evidence showing that it's beneficial either for your life duration or anything else to eat a vitamin pill a day. As long as you get a varied diet, I think you and you get regular exercise and you don't smoke and don't drink too much and live a nice life, I mean, then you are on the good side of life.
So it's pretty much having common sense and just eating well and not depending upon supplements as a basis for maintenance of your health.
Exactly.
Well, Dr. Glood, I'd like to thank you very much for explaining the study and the methodology behind it. I think it's important for people to understand what goes into producing these results and understanding how results then can be determined as being valid or invalid with regards to the work being done. So I really appreciate the time you've taken to explain that to us.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
It's been a pleasure.
All the best to you.
Bye.